Gemara in Menachas, Samach Tes Amud Beis. So last week we went over the Rav's Chiddush. The difference between the way the Omer relates to Hashrasha versus the way the Omer relates to a Pri. In our Sugya, that's the whole emphasis of Rashi, is that in our Sugya, we're only talking about the essential idea of Matir. That is, the discussion is about Pri. Because it has to be an entity of Ochel, a Cheftz of Ochel, that's Pri. In other words, the Omer is Matir, the Isser Chodosh, which is part of the world of Machalas Asuros. And that's why Rashi said, "Mekami hachi akra havi kashachas ba'alma v'lo mahani omer l'mesharye." That's insofar as the entity of Pri. But the Rav's Chiddush is that Hashrasha is a different idea. That's just a koveya, a determination of last year or this year. Last year or this year. Right. It's the demarcating point. The Omer says anything that's Nishrash before, that's last year's crop. So turn out it's mutter, but not because it's a matir, but simply it's mutter because it's simply now defined as last year's crop, and therefore the Isser Chadash never devolves upon it. Because it's going to first become a pre now, and it's already defined as last year's crop. End of story. Okay, so like we explained last week, and then the Rav explained how that naturally now you could understand why the Rush's famous Svek-Sveka, quoted by the Ramah, to allow people to eat Tfuah b'zmanazeh, or at least in his time, or their time, and that's how it works. It's two Shemos of Suffolk. One is the Pri, did it undergo the Matir of the Omer? That's one Suffolk. And if you say it didn't, but maybe it's Hishrisha Kodama Omer, meaning that's a different suffix. That's whether or not it's been designated as this year's crop or last year's crop. So there's two separate halachic shemos of suffix, and therefore it's a legitimate svek sveka. Okay, so now that brings us to our Gemara. So our Gemara is in the framework of Pri. So, boy, Reb Shimon ben Pazi, shibolas shevia shlish, kodem laomer, it's a pri, ve'okra, and Rashi learns kodem laomer, v'shasla la'achara omer, and now you replanted it after the omer, v'hosifa mahu, and now it has new growth. And this new growth, of course, never experienced Yud Vav Benisan, or the Omer. Basar Ikar Azlinan, Visharya Omer. Or Dilma, Basar Tosefas Azlinan, Vad Sheyavo Omer Abba. You go after the Ikar, and the Omer is already Mati or the Ikar. Or do you say you go after the addition, you follow the addition, and the addition never experienced the Omer, so you have to wait till the next Omer. I mean, so it would seem the question is, do I say that the Omer was Matir the Pri? And now the question is, when I replant it and it's Hishrisha and it grows more, do I say that it's the same pre. Except now I'm allowing the pre to have an increase. It's growing more. But it's defined as the same pre. Now it has a quantitative increase. But it's the same pre. Or do I say no? Or do I say that since it was replanted, now I view it as a new pre. I don't look at it as a quantitative increase of the old pre. Now I see it as a new pre. Meaning anything that grows further because of this new planting, that's a new pre. That seems to be the question. Do I view the addition as
a... You have the same question if it was Akra.
Okay. So, somebody asked the question, why did Rashi give the case for Akra Kodem La'omer? Why couldn't it be for Akra La'achara Omer? Okay? Which, by the way, wait till we see the Rambam. But that's the question. But the answer is that if it was Akra La'achara Omer, then it would not be this, it wouldn't be Reb Shimon ben Pazi's question anymore. Reb Shimon ben Pazi's question is about pre. What is the halacha about a pre where the Omer was matir the pre, and now you replant the pre and it grows more? Do you look at the growth as a continuation of the initial pre, or do you say no? Now that it's a new planting and you have new growth, that's like a new pre. That's the question he has. But if you were Akra after the Omer, so then you'd only be saying, you would not be talking about the object, the Tfua, from the perspective of a pre that the Omer was Matir. It would just be simply another case of Nishrisha Kodem HaOmer. Because if you didn't harvest it, then it still remains in the ground. It's not pre yet. And it's just a matter of Nishrisha Kodem HaOmer. So that's why you cannot be that case. I mean, we could discuss that case, but that's not Reb Shimon ben Pazi's Abaya. His Abaya is, what do you say about a pre that had a heter on the substance of pre, of Ochel, and then you went ahead, replanted and caused it to grow further? How do you look at that? Same old or something new? A very reasonable question. But it has to be this case, according to the way Rashi understands the sugya, it has to be va'akra kodem la'omer, or you're not going to be talking about the issue that Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi has. And that fits exactly into, that's exactly the Rav's whole point. Okay? That it has to be that way. And now the Svek Sveka that the Rush gave in the Ramah is that you're walking into a marketplace and there are bags of flour or whatever, or, you know, bread or mizonos items. And now the Svek Sveka is Suffek number one. Is the stuff that I see before me, is it this year's harvest? Or is it last year's harvest? If it's last year's harvest, then the Omer was matir it as a pre. If it's this year's harvest, the Omer was not matir it as a pre. But even if I say it was this year's harvest, but maybe this year's harvest already took root before the Omer, so therefore I don't have to worry about whether it is a matir of a pre, because it's considered last year's harvest. And then the Omer already defined it as last year's harvest. And therefore it's mutter also. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So the guys are raising the question. They want to know which way are we saying? Are we saying now, by the case of the Tosefes, are we saying that the whole thing is a new pri, meaning the original pri is obliterated? Okay. Now we're not talking practically here because since growth is, I don't know how to say it, but in other words, it doesn't grow on top of the old pre, but it's just simply expanding. I guess that's the best way to put it. Rashi calls it be'uvi, right? It's just expanding in all directions. So we're not talking practically, can you know, carve this thing up, but, you know, and find out where's the mutter and where's the usser. But theoretically, we could understand it that way. So they're asking, are we saying according to the second side, Basar Tosefes as Linan, does that mean the whole thing's a new pre? Now that it started to grow, the whole thing is viewed as a new entity of pre, in which case the whole thing is usser, because it has to wait for the next Omer. Or are we saying that no, that there really was heter, and we're only talking about the Tosefes. The Tosefes is the new pre. That's the question that's been raised. Okay? And that halachically now it's as if you have two peros going on. You have, you know, because from the perspective of the Omer, there was pre that was hutar al yedei Omer, and now there's the Tosefes, that's like a new growth. And since it's a new growth, that does not have heter. That's the question that's been raised. Yeah. So let's take a look. It's funny, I was tempted whether I was going to go that way or do something else first to try to see how the Iboy is according to the Rambam. But let's just take a look. As long as you guys raise this question, let's take a look at the next case. So the next case is like this. Tifshele Meha. De Omar Rebbe Abahu, Omar Rebbe Yochanan, Yolda, Shesivcha Bezekena, Uva but Peros, Afila Hosef B'Masayim Aser. Okay, take a look at Rashi. Rashi does a splendid job. Yolda Shesivcha Bezekena, Netiya Shel Arla. So you have a planting that's Arla. Uva Peros. So it's in the first 3 years, and it has peros. First 3 years of the tree, and it has peros. So with their usher. Vihir kiva b'zakena. Sha'avrula yamei orlasa. That's what zakena means. So now you went ahead and grafted it to an old tree, i.e. one that passed those years. Afilu hosifo ha'peros b'uvi la'achar shesivcha. B'masayim shel heter, m'yoser m'shahaya sham min ha'iser, aser. So even though the peros expanded after the grafting 200 times against what it originally was, it'll be aser. V'yafagav da'arla butla b'masayim, kida amra b'psachem, se'echad min ha'masayim, Mimosar shtei meo shenishtairu babor. Okay. So Rashi quotes the Gemara Psachim. It's funny, kind of like truncated it. It's based on a pasuk in Yecheskel. And the basic point of the pasuk, I'll tell you the pasuk, hold on, it's quoted many times, but it's quoted in the Menachas also. Yeah, the pasuk is Yecheskel Memhei, Pasuk Tesvav, V'seh Achas Min Hatzon, Min HaMasayim, Mimashke Yisrael, L'mincho La'ola V'lishlamim, L'chaper Aleihem, Ne'um Hashem Elokim. So the Pasuk is telling you, according to the way Torah Shebaal Peh understands it, the Pasuk is telling you what kind of objects, what kind of objects for korban or for nesachim is mutter. And the basic rule it is, it has to be Mimashke Yisrael. What's Mashke Yisrael mean? It means something that's mutter to any Yisrael. In order to be a carbon, it cannot be a chefza of Isser. Macholas Asuros, whatever. I think the Gemara asks whether muksa is a problem. Okay. But it's basically, essentially, Macholas Asuros. So that's what Mashke Yisrael means. It has to be Min HaMutterli Yisrael. Okay? So it says, V'seh Achas Min Atzon. Okay, the Gemara, whatever. Each word in that Pasuk, the Gemara Pesachim Darshans, V'seh, to exclude this, to exclude that. But then it says, Min HaMasayim, the Gemara learns that definitely means Nesachim, liquids. Because there's no idea of one of 200 by anything else. So it says it must be talking no longer about animals, but it's talking about liquid. You know, mashke. Literally mashke. So that's what it means. Se echad min amasayim mi mosar shtei meosh in ishtayru babor. So it means, min amasayim means it's talking about if you took wine from a boar, a thing that holds, you know, a pit that holds wine, and 200 of it was mutter, and one part was orla, it's mutter. That's what the pasuk's letting you know. All right? So it's another remez that orla does not go by shishim or something like that. It needs 200 to 1 to be matir orla. Okay. Now let's finish up the Rashi. Afilu hachi. So even though that's true, hacha usser. Here it will still be usser. Even though the fruit grew 200 times in the scenario of heter, because now it's growing, it's getting its yanika from the old tree, so it should be mutter. But even though you have 200 parts of mutter, it makes no difference. Why? Dechad gufahu ubasar ikar azlina. It's one guf, and after the ikar you go. So how would you interpret those last thoughts of Rashi? That's the whole essence right there. He's explaining the halacha. In other words, the Mishnah openly says that a yalda shesivcha bezakeinu va'peros, even if it added 200, it's aser. So the Gemara is bringing a raya that it's baser ikar azlina. But Rashi's explaining it. So what is Rashi's explanation? Okay, is everybody got it clear? What does Rashi mean by afilo hachi hacha aser dechad gufahu? Ubasar ikar azlina. Just want to know how you would translate that, how you interpret it. Yeah, the Shin David Gabetz has added some words here, whether or not that it's a difference in meaning, I'll leave it up to you. He says, he learns like this, Afil hacha asar dechad gufahu ubasar ikar azlina. Alma basar ikar azlina. Therefore you see that you go after the ikar. See, it would seem to me that the way Rashi's learning is that's exactly the point. That's why the Gemara is bringing this Mishnah. Because it's saying like this. That you see the Mishnah went out of its way to tell you that even if it was Hosef Masayim, it's Usser. So why is it telling you that? Because it's letting you know that the mechanism of Bittel can't occur. And why can't it occur? After all, it did increase 200. The answer is, because it's one guf. And in order to have a mevatel, it has to be an extraneous entity. It has to be outside the thing you're trying to be mevatel. That's the definition of bittel. Okay? That's exactly the idea. It's chad gufahu. So you can't have the very idea of bittul cannot take place. The thing can't be mevatel itself. So that's how Rashi understands what the Mishnah is saying. That even though it increased 200, what's it going to help? It's not going to be marviach anything. Because it's chad gufahu. And since it's chad gufahu, so that's the very idea. Basar ikar azlina, meaning it's just an expansion. It's just an expansion of the original thing. And that's the conclusion. Alma, therefore you see from that Mishnah clearly, Basar ikar azlina, i.e., that you don't look at the Tosefes as a separate entity, but you simply say it's a quantitative increase of the original thing. And since the original thing was Usser, the same Shame Isser permeates any growth that it has. That's the Pshat and Rashi, at least the way I understand it.
Flipped it around though, and you took a.
That's the very point of the Mishnah. That even though Yosefa Masayim, it's still Usser. Why? Because you can't look at the expansion as a foreign entity. Busser Iker. It's just an expansion of the original pre. And the original pre is already defined as mutter. That's it. End of story. So based on the way the Mishnah has it, it sounds like that the Gemara would have entertained the possibility. I mean, you know, right? The Tanayim that the other side would say that no, that the Tosefes is a foreign, that's what it's trying to outrule, that the Tosefes is not a foreign entity that could be Mevatel, the original one, the Heter. So it sounds like they're really learning, not that the whole thing, they're only zeroing on the Tosefes. So Rav Shimon Pazi's question was, do you say Basar Ikar Azlinan? And therefore it's a quantitative increase, it's the same pre, and therefore the pre is already Hutter Al Yedeya Omer. Or the other side is no, that the Tosefes has to be viewed, at least in the framework of Omer, as a new growth, as a new pre, and therefore it's Usser. But really there is Heter there. But the only thing is it can't be distinguished, practically speaking. So the whole kernel will become Usser. That's the way it seems. Just based on the Gemara's Raya from the way the Mishnah states the case of Arla. So David asked a question, but now we're going to get caught. Because if we learn this way, that according to the Tosefah side, it means that the new growth is a foreign entity relative to the original growth. But Rashi said, Vishosla la'achara omer, Vahosifa mashu mahu. So Rashi says that the boyas, even if it's hosifa mashu, any amount. Yeah, but if it's mashu, why is it just simply batal against the shlish? Why say it's batal against the shlish if it's a mashu? You don't say that. You say that's the very question. Hosifa Mashu, do you say that it's Usser? But if you say it's a foreign thing, why can't you have the initial being Mevatalit? Of course, if you learn the way Chaim was saying before. It's funny, by the way, that's the way I taught it in school. Your way, Chaim. I think I sensed there would be too many problems the other way to explain it to kids. So, right, the other way is to learn that no, not that Vahosifa is a foreign entity. No, Vahosifa, the other side of Reb Shimon Pazi Zibaya is that since it grew, now the whole thing is a new entity. You have to look at the whole thing. There's no more Heter Omer anymore. Since you replanted it and it grew, it's a new entity. And this new entity never experienced the Omer. And Mashu is very good, because Mashu is just a barometer that there was growth. Because the minute that, just sticking in the ground is not going to do it. Because then you're just sticking a pre in the ground. I mean, nothing's happened yet. You might have good intentions or bad intentions, whatever your intentions are, but the bottom line is nothing has been realized. But the minute you have a growth of Mashu, even a Mashu, now you say this is a new entity. The whole thing is a new entity, a new Chefts of Pri, and as a new Chefts of Pri, of course the Omer was never Matir, this new entity. So if you learn that way, of course, this Kasha falls out the window. The only question is, how do you understand the Mishnah by Orla and Kilei HaKerem? So Josh wants to answer that the whole Kasha, you don't have to change the Pshat the way we learned the Gemara originally. He wants to say, as per the Rambam in Perek Tesvav Machalas Asuras Halacha Yud, V'u'adin l'tvua chadasha sh'nisar v'biyashana milifnei ha'omer oseres p'cholshu sh'rei yesh l'matirin sh'la'achar ha'omer yutar hakol. So he wants to say that why don't you just learn it's a case of the first way we learned, that it's a foreign entity, the new growth, and you don't have to worry about the Mashu becoming Batal, because the Mashu is a foreign entity of Chadash. And Chadash is not Mevutal. There's no idea of Bittal. And therefore the whole problem falls out the window. You don't have to worry about that problem. It's a foreign entity, it's not Batal, and you can learn the whole Gemara that way. Yeah, so he's right. So if you say Chadash is never Batal, so then the Gemara is very good with Rashi's explanation. Because all Rashi mentions the Mashu is exactly that point. To show you that now there's a Tosefes. There's a legitimate Tosefes. And that Tosefes is part of this entity. In other words, it can't be, you know, teased out. Practically. So since you're saying it's Basar Tosefes as Linan, it's going to be a Cheftashel Isser there. And you will not be able to, you'll have to wait for the next Omer to be Matir this thing. Because the Mashu won't become Batal.
Right.
Yeah, that's why even though Chadash is a Davash Yesh LaMatirin, but they have a whole question whether you say that rule of Davash Yesh LaMatirin by Svek Sveka. That's the whole question. By one suffek, definitely. You say if it's Davash Yesh LaMatirin, you don't paskin a suffek, the Rabban and Lakula. Or other svekas. But svek svek, that's the whole question. That's why I want to look back at the Rush's tshuva, the famous tshuva beis on this topic. I think he might mention the issue of svek svek and Davash Yesh LaMatirin. I don't remember. That's why I want to look. Okay, so we're just leaving with that still. Let's assume you wanted to learn the other way. In other words, we solved the way to learn that if it's a foreign, the new growth is considered a separate thing. We now see how the Gemara works very nicely and why there's no problem with Rashi with Mashu. But still, the question was: can you learn it the other way? That Basar Tosefes as Lina means that once you have the Tosefes, so you're now redefining the whole Pri. Now the whole Pri is Aser. Not that you have a foreign element, you know, a new element of Iser, but it's the whole thing. The only problem is going to be, how are you going to explain why the Mishnah stated the case of Afilu Masayim? Because Afilu Masayim seems to be learning that it's trying to show you that you can't have the process of Bittel, that it's one goof. Which means the other side would have said, no, you do have. Basar Tosefes would have meant
that now you say that Masayim does play a role. That's what it appears. Maybe you can learn it differently. Maybe you don't have to say that. Maybe you don't say that it's excluding, I don't know. Let's just leave it. That was the only question. But there are definitely two theoretical ways to learn Reb Shimon ben Pazi, although one side seems to make more sense based on the rayas that the Gemara brings. Okay, that's what we're saying. Yeah. By the way, just the difficulty in the Shita Mikubetzes, unless there's a way to solve it now, I don't know. The Shita Mikubetzes was also bothered why Rashi said Mashu. And he answers the following. He says, Vahosifa, Pirish Rashi, Kolshu, Aval Hosifa Rov, but if it added a majority, Pshita Delo Mevatel Iker Ligidulin, then you would never say the Iker cancels out the growth, the new growth. Meaning the new growth, he's learning like this. According to Rashi, if you had the Hosifa more, let's say it was a shlish, and that was Hosifa two shlishes, right? The rest of the amount, 66%. So he's learning that everybody would agree, there'd be no Ibaya. Everybody agree that it's Usser. That's what he's learning. So he's learning this idea of Bittel. Aval Kosha hu Bittel. Then he says, Vim Tomar, Josh, he asks you a question. Dover Sheishla Matirin hu, Vamai Bittel. In other words, he's asking, how could he talk about Bittel if it's a Dover Sheishla Matirin? Vitzarach Lachalek bein Shar Bitulin le Bittel de Gidulin. He says you're gonna have to make some distinction between other bittel and a bittel by growth. Well, okay. I don't know what that distinction is going to be, but he somehow feels that you can make a distinction. Not sure what it is, but there's a simpler question, because he's saying that if it definitely would have grown 2/3, a rove, or more than 1/3. You would never say that the Tosefis could ever get canceled out. It would be impossible. I said, I don't understand. How does he learn the case of Arla and Kilea Kerem? The Gemara there says he becomes 200 times the size. Busser Iker Azlinon.
Does it make any sense?
Yeah, I don't understand. I mean, it's hard also because he wants to start also being that chilek between Dovah Sheish Lamatirins, whether you have a Dovah Sheish Lamatirin, you know, by a normal taroves, you know, those kind of cases, and versus when it's growing on a tree. I'm not so sure what the difference is. Okay, but whatever. Let's assume there even is. But he wants to say that nobody, there'll be no machlokes if it's rove new growth. Well, what are you talking about? It's an open Mishnayis that even though you have way beyond Rov, that we hold Basar Iker Azlina. So I'm not sure. I just lo yaradati l'sof daita. And the Kasha is even worse because the Shita Mikubetzes is trying to explain Rashi, but Rashi himself says later that the reason why there's no Bittel is because the Chad Gufahu. So you see, according to Rashi, There could be an idea of Bittel. It's because it's Chad Gufa. And if it really were not Chad Gufa, so then it would be a different story. I stated that incorrectly. I meant to ask like this. I'm sorry. The kasha that was unintelligible. The kasha is like this. The kasha is, he is saying, the Shita Mikubetzes is saying is that even according to Rashi, the whole sugya, if there would have been a increase of more than Rov against the original, nobody would hold Basar Iker. But Rashi himself says that when you have the increase, even 200, it's chad gufahu. And therefore what? You don't say bittel. So therefore you see that even if it would have increased rov, you still would say basar ikar. And you never say that the rov somehow is impervious to the original definition. It's not true. We don't care how much it grows. Whether it's all Rashi saying mashu, he's not saying mashu as opposed to a large growth. No. A large growth is just the same thing. The reason why he said mashu is like we said, is that once you have a mashu, that says that now you have a legitimate tosefes, and now the question is, what's the status of this pre? Is it defined by the initial, or do you say the tosefes now creates whatever, something new, whether it's a new addition or the new same thing? I don't really care right now. But the point is, that's all Rashi's adding mashuhu for. Not like what the Shita is saying. Rashi himself goes, it's against the Gemara, and it doesn't make sense within Rashi himself. Because Rashi says it'll be chad gufa according to basar ikar azlinan. So I don't care how much it grows. It's an open contradiction. Okay. Now we're going to the Rambam. So the Rambam is Perek Yud in Machalas Asuros, Halacha Hei. So he has, it pays to, I think, do the whole halacha. Especially since our case, he begins with the word v'chein. So I think in all fairness, to do it justice is to do the whole halacha. Alright? So the Rambam says, Tvua shehishrisha achar ha'omer. Vikotzra. So you had Tfua, that was his Shrisha after the Omer. Vikotzra. And then, of course, you eventually harvested it. So now what you have a harvest of wheat, barley, whatever. Alright? Vizora min hachitim bakarka. Va'achakach korev ha'omer haba. Va'adayin hachitim bakarka. So now you harvested the chitim, and before the omer would come, you took some of those chitim and you replanted them. Okay, they're full chitim, and you replanted them. Va'adayin hachitim bakarka. Now that means shelo hishrisha. They did not take root. So you have chitim that were harvested. They're chadash. They've never experienced an omer. And as the Rama pointed out, they were hishrisha achar ha'omer. So you don't have that idea either. And now you take those very chitim that are chadash and you replant them. But they didn't take root. Hare elu sofek im hitiran ha'omer ki ilu hayu munachim bekad o lo yatir oson mipnei shebotlu bekarka. This is pretty much openly the Gemara. On, what daf are we on? Samach Tes Amud Beis? It's on, Samach Tes Amud Aleph. So it's a suffix. Do I say the Omer is matir the chitim? No different than if these chitim were sitting in a jar in my kitchen. Right? They were a jar of chadash. Now Yudvav Nisan comes along and it's matir the chadash, makes it into yashan. So mali bakad, what do I care if it's in a jug, a jar? What do I care if I happen to stuck them in the ground? Oh, lo yatir osan. Or they say, no. Mipnei shebotlu bakarka. Lefika chiblokat mehen va'ochal eina loke aval makina so makas mardas. So if the guy took them out of the ground after the omer and ate them, it's a suffek daraisa, so you don't give a malkus, but you do give a makas mardas. Okay? So how would you define that, Ibaya? Cute one. In other words, the question in the Gemara is that you have a pre here, it was harvested. So from the standpoint of the substance, it's a chefta shel pre. The Gemara's question is the act of being zorea change its definition into an agricultural entity? That's batal agav karka. That's what the Rambam means. It becomes one with the karka. It's an agricultural entity. In other words, is that maisa zoreya redefine the object as an agricultural entity? If it's an agricultural entity, so then when the omer comes, it won't be matirit. Because it's not being matirit from the framework of pre, and it's not being matirit from the framework of last year's harvest, because it is lo hishrishi adayin. It still didn't take root. So you have something that's an agricultural entity, and therefore will not become mutter, will have no effect. The omer will have no effect on it. Or do I say no? That since in substance it's a pre, the fact that I put it in the ground, that's accidental to the substance. Because mali, if it's in a kad, mali bakarka. From the standpoint, what do I care where the guy puts it? From a substance standpoint. Or do I say no? That's the question. That's the question. Is the act of Zoraya redefine it as an agricultural entity? Or do I simply look at it from the inherent substance? That now it's a dover, it was harvested, it's a dover haroy lachila, and now you just look at it as accidentally happens to be in the ground from the standpoint of the substance. That's the question. That's the Gemara's question, and that's why the Gemara says it's a safek. The Gemara does not resolve it. And therefore you don't get malkus midaraisa, but you get malkus mardus, because by eating it, you have no right to eat it. So therefore, it's a merit. It's a merit against the system. It's a merit against the system. That's why you get makas mardas. It's still usher to eat from the standpoint of the world of halacha, even though it's a suffix. Okay, good. All right.
What's that expression you just used?
Merit? Yeah, merit. The merit is, means the guy simply does not, he doesn't care about the system as a whole. Oh, it's only a suffix, I'm gonna eat it. No. That's merit. That's considered a going against the system. In fact, the guy will argue. He'll tell the Rambam, you hold suffix deraisa lechumra is only a derabbanan. So it's a merit. It's a merit against the whole Torah Shebaal Peh system. Because midrabbanan, you're not allowed to eat it. So it's a merit against the system of halacha still. Alright, now let's just take, I think we'll wait till next week. But the last, now the Rambam. V'chein shiboles sheviya shlish milifnei ha'omer. V'okra v'shasla Achar shekarev haomer vahosifa. So now the Rambam learns the case like somebody wanted to learn the case in the Chaim's question, the Gemara. It had a shlish. before the Omer. But you uprooted it and replanted it after the Omer. Vahosifa. Now listen to what the Ram says now. Harezu Safek. Imti Asura Bipnei HaTosefes. Should it be Asur because of the Tosefes? Achi Yavo Omer Haba. Olo Tia Asura Shahare Hishrisha Kodem HaOmer. So, the Rambam has changed the facts of the Gemara. He talks about his Shrisha. He has it that it's Akra after the Omer. I want to understand how the Rambam understands the question of Shimon ben Pazi, Rav Shimon ben Pazi. And I would also like to know what is the machlokas between the Rambam and Rashi. Why didn't the Ram learn like Rashi? Rashi's so smooth. So you have to figure out how the Rambam understood this whole thing. Moreover, you have to figure out what's the machlokas between Rambam and Rashi, how to learn the sugya.